as he heard about these two class bullies starting to pick on me, that next day I saw my brother out in the hallway with them against the door and warning them never to touch me again. I still think about that memory a lot. Not just because it managed to effectively, by and large, get the class bullies off of me, but because as someone that was trying to find his place in a new school, I found my place having seen my brother stand up for me. I found my place with my family. Today, I want to talk about family business. We're not as much talking about a physical family as we are talking about a spiritual family. The kind of family that God has created and saved us into. As we open up this text today, you might be wondering, what does this have to do with me? What does this have to do even with family business? Well, if you pay close attention to what Paul is doing here, he has a lot of people that he's mentioning, yes, but it's all the family business. And it shows us a lot about what it really looks like to be a part of the Christian family, to have our place in the Christian family and belonging. Paul wants us, he's put this into the Word of God to help convince us to be a meaningful member of God's family. And that's exactly what I want for us. I want you and I to be a meaningful member of God's family. If you're visiting from another church, I want you to be a meaningful member in your own church. If you're not a Christian today, I want you to be a part of this. I want you to be a part of this meaningful family, because whether you're a Christian or not, the kind of community that this passage shows us is the kind of community that we're all looking for. It's the kind of community that we all need. It's the kind of community that is intentional and that is encouraging. And that's exactly actually how I want to break down our passage for us. If you pay close attention to the middle greetings, verses 10 through 15, it's just a bunch of greetings. And Paul's showing us that the Christian family is intentional through those greetings. And then surrounding those greetings above it and below it, Paul is showing us that the Christian family is meant to be encouraging. So what do I mean by intentional? Well, again, let's look at the greetings. Let me remind you of it in verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Now, if you know anything about this person named Mark, you might know that this is the guy we read about in Acts that went on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas, the cousin of Barnabas. But we know him because he was the one who abandoned Mark. Mark was the one who abandoned Paul and Barnabas in a very pivotal moment. It was so painful that the Colossians knew about it. They have never met Paul. They have never met Mark. But this is such a huge deal, such a big break in fellowship, that the Colossians even knew and had to be reminded, hey, if he happens to show up, make sure you greet him warmly. He's one of us. To be intentional means you are seeking reconciliation, especially with those who have hurt you. Is there someone that you can think of here, maybe at this church, and maybe you're thinking, oh no, not at IBC. We never have that happen here. We never have breaks and tension, but that's just wrong. That's what happens. In fact, that's just natural when you have intentional relationships. When you're intentional with each other, that just gives all kinds of opportunity for hurt. That happens. What then? You just give up? Shun them? Leave them to that over there, and I'm going to just go find someone else to be friends with, because I don't want to seek that reconciliation and address that pain. But that's not what it means to be a part of the Christian family. If Paul, being betrayed and abandoned by someone in a very pivotal moment, can seek reconciliation, then the Colossians can too. And so can us. We can also seek reconciliation. That's what it means to be intentional. But not only that, not only seeking reconciliation, how about Epaphras in verse 12? Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, he greets you, always struggling on behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Paul is saying that Epaphras, this guy that we have actually may know by now if you've been here through Colossians, he's the one that started this church, essentially. But he's not with them because he's with Paul and he's praying for them, struggling with them on behalf of them with his prayers. How is that with you? Do you pray for your church? You pray for your Christian friends, or even your not Christian friends? To be intentional with the Christian family means that you are praying for each other. That's part of our church covenant, by the way. It's the thing that we sign up for when we become a member here. To pray for each other. Also on the side is part of our church covenant to reconcile with each other when we have issues. It's in there. For a reason. Because that's what it means to be a part of the intentional Christian family. And say, well, that's a lot of people to pray for. It's kind of overwhelming to think about praying for everybody. I don't even know everybody's names and faces. Well, here's something. We got small groups starting up this week. How about this year we make it a point to pray for our small groups throughout the week, not just Tuesday night or whatever night you meet? How about you make it a point to pray for those you're particularly intentional with? Because that's what it means to be an intentional part of God's family. It means that we're reconciling to each other. It means that we're praying for each other. It also means that we're seeking unity with each other. There's all kinds of other parties and different diversities of people in this passage. You can look earlier on in verse 11. Jesus, who is called Justice for a reason. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. And they have been a comfort to me. The circumcision, in other words, they are the only ones of the Jews that have been a comfort to me. Which makes sense, because if you follow Paul's ministry in the book of Acts, he goes to the Jews and very often they are the ones who persecute him. It'd be so easy to just say, you know what, forget that group of people. Let me just go find another group of people. But he's finding commonality with people that he might not easily find commonality with. And the same thing is happening later on. In verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. These guys, they've never met before. The Colossians most likely have never met, but they might know who he is. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea. This is a neighboring town that Paul also has never been to before. And to Nympha and the church in her house. So again, there's a diversity of people here. People that, in any other context, there's no reason to greet. No reason to share anything with. except that they have Jesus. The unity that we have is from Jesus. So to be an intentional member of the Christian family means that we are seeking unity in the diversity. Finding people that we are not, we don't share too much in common with, but we can share a room with. We can share a conversation with. And we can even share a life with. Because we have Jesus. And isn't this the community that we're looking for? Like, isn't this the kind of place that we were made for? We need this as humans. We're made to not be alone, but to have intentional community with each other. And we don't always get this thing right. I get it. And church can be messy. Far too often it gets rough. Relationships are hard. But that's why this passage exists. That's why Paul is showing us an example of what it means to be in the Christian family. Because sometimes we need help with this. And the good news is that we actually have this standard. It's not just a social cue. It's not just a good idea. This is what it means to be a part of the Christian family. To be intentional. But why? Why should we be intentional? Can I just be out there by myself? Do I have to be a part of this thing? I can still be a Christian, right? And not be a part, an intentional part of the Christian family. Why should I do that? Well, it's because God didn't just, if you're a Christian, God didn't just save you. He saved us. And that's what it says in Ephesians 2. It's Jesus, pay attention for the reason why Jesus was on the cross. I'll read to you verse 14 and going forward. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him we have both access in one spirit to the Father. So you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members in the household of God. Do you hear that? That, like, one major reason why Jesus hung himself on the cross is so that we can be one united family. That he is our head. And to think that I can just go be a Christian all by myself, I don't need to be a part of this Christian family thing, is in direct opposition to the cross. Directly defying what he has made us for. But this shouldn't be a hard thing to fall into, because this is what we're made for anyway. God made humans to dwell with each other in a peace, kind, and just community. He's only hanging himself on the cross that he might restore that for humans. Yes, it's not perfect. Yes, it may hurt to invest yourself once again into a Christian community. If that's you, do it not because, oh, this is easy and it should be easy. But do it because this is what Jesus died for. And he wants to establish us as a family, one united family. Christian family is made to be intentional. But for what purpose? Paul shows us around our greetings portion that the reason why we are intentional is so that we would be an encouragement. But if we get this encouragement part wrong, we're actually missing the whole point of a whole Christian family thing. I mean, just look at Tychicus. In the very beginning of our passage, Tychicus will tell you about all my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Tychicus, if you trace his name throughout the rest of the New Testament, he's a man that Paul is consistently entrusting him to encourage believers wherever he goes. Is that someone that you can describe yourself as? Someone that can encourage the brothers and sisters here? Is that someone that you at least aspire to be? We're intentional, but we're intentional for a reason. Intentional so that we may encourage each other and build each other up. And maybe you're thinking, hey, Tychicus is a servant of the Lord. He's a minister. That's not me. I don't have to encourage, I don't have to at least be expected to encourage if that's not me. And yeah, maybe Tychicus is a special guy and entrusted with a lot, but ministers need encouragement from everyone else as well. That's exactly what happens at the end of the passage. Look at verse 16. When this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. I'm sorry, verse 17. And say to Archippus, see that you are fulfilling the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Archippus, we learn, is in a different book. He is actually the church leader in Colossae. He's a host at his home for the church in Colossae. Paul's giving us a clue that this guy, he needs encouragement. I don't know how he knows that. He knows Epaphras, who is very well integrated with his church. But he knows that even this guy needs encouragement. And who's going to do that? Well, the Christian's there. Encouragement is not just for the people who stand on the stage. It's a part of being in the Christian family. To build each other up. And the cool thing is, I get to stand up here not as a pastor, but tell you that your pastors need encouragement too. You can pray for them. You can encourage them. Now, how do I do that? Well, here's something honestly pretty practical, and I think this is very effective in encouraging. One way that you can encourage them is at least notify them of the fruit that's happening. Tell them something about their sermon that was encouraging, or their work, or their counseling. Tell them, hey, this is what God's been doing, and you've been a part of that. That'll help them fulfill the ministry that they have before them. Show them the fruit of their labors. That is encouraging. We all need it. They're not special. Nathan and Theo aren't. They're humans like us. They get sick like we do. They have problems. They wrestle with sin like you and I do. We all need encouragement, and this is where we find it. In the Christian family. Now, what exactly do I mean by encouragement, though? What do I encourage with? What do you mean? You use that word. Well, this is where we actually go for the very beginning of where we started. Maybe you can turn there too. The very beginning of Colossians chapter 1. I'm looking at verse 4. What is it that we can be encouraged by? Listen for what we're encouraged by as I read verse 4 and onward. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you. Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. What can we be encouraged by? Well, notice that Epaphras was the guy who did it to them. Did you see that at the end of verse 7? Epaphras, he's the guy who carried the message. But the true encouragement comes of the hope. The word of truth is the thing, the essence that bears fruit and builds us up as a family. Epaphras was the one who was sent to carry the message. But according to this, the real power, the real encouragement is the word of truth. The good news of Jesus. Who he is and what he's done for us. He's died for our life. He resurrected so that we may have eternal life. If you want to encourage the family of God, if you want to be a part of the family of God by encouraging, point you and I, point us all to Jesus. Help us see him on the cross. Help us see what he's done for all of us. It's found here in the word of truth. That's what it means to be a part of God's family. This isn't optional. This is something that Paul is actually, he's showing us. Hey, this is the family of God at work right here. This is what it looks like. It's intentional. Even when it's hard. But it's encouraging. It's pointing us all to Christ. So may we, as a church, be a part of this family here. And if you're not a Christian today, if you're saying, hey, that's not me, but I would encourage you to be a part of this as well. Being part of an intentional community that's willing to invest in you. Of course, we don't get it right all the time, again. But this is the standard. This is the expectation. And it's a community that, if I can be honest with you, I don't know where I would be without you guys. I wouldn't be here. I'm just going to be honest that this is a community that I need. And I think we all need that. So let's be an intentional and encouraging community. Let's be a meaningful member of God's family. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us the example of what it looks like to be in your family. We know that you have done the work. You have died for us and resurrected. You have saved us. But Lord, we pray, would you make us one? Would you make us intentional? Would you make us encouraging? Would you help us to be invested into each other's lives? Especially as small groups pick up this week, Lord. I pray that this would be on our minds. The people we meet at small group is not an accident, God. It's something that you have ordained. So help us to invest. Help us to be a church here. And if anyone, Lord, hears of your truth of the gospel this morning, I pray that, and has not believed it, I pray that they would. I pray that they would be drawn by your spirit to be a part of this family. The family that you have reconciled and saved through the work of your cross. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
encouraging us with your sermon and pointing us all to Christ Jesus again this Sunday. At this time, we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper together. The Lord's Supper is the place where God's people